Hi, guys.
Hello.
Welcome to Etta Arlene's Spirit Cast. If you're new to this podcast, we talk about all things related to mindfulness, magic, astrology, tarot, Reiki, meditation, anything in that realm. Today's episode, we are talking about Apollo, right?
That's
what we're doing. Okay.
We are talking about the magnificent Apollo.
We're not sure where we're going to go, how this episode is, like, what direction we're going to go in, but that's the topic. We decided we were going to talk about him because in our previous episode, we were speaking on deity work. Mm. So we figured we'd talk about, like, our personal experiences. And we could start with mine. And then when you feel comfortable, you could, like, get on and talk about some of the newer deities that you're engaging with. But right now you're, like, in the throes of it. Mm-hmm. So,
I'm sure the people listening to this know who Apollo is or know some of his mythology.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like he is definitely one of the prevalent...
He's one of the more popular gods.
More popular, and his, like, is it iconography or whatever? His imagery is used a lot in our society, and you can see the detailing and stuff in certain architecture and so on and so forth for certain time periods.
Yeah, like, he was very popular god.
Victorian times.
Yeah, and in his time, like, in that era. I mean, like, Delphi was... considered the center of the world, to give you an idea of how, like, popular he was. And a lot of rulers wanted to kind of, like, be him. So you'll see, like, King Louis. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of, like, stuff for Apollo and the Muses. And then in regards to, like, the arts, if you go to, like, older buildings, I know in Pittsburgh, the Benenum has a huge, like, you know, mural of, like, Apollo and the Muses, and, like, if you're looking at the stage, you can see his face, so a lot of places where we see the arts, we'll see a lot of his imagery in the Muses, and then he's also connected to medicine, so there'll be a lot of subtle imagery and stuff like that associated with him that you might overlook, and, or his son, like, the Rod of Asclepius. There's also subtle things that are connected to him that a lot of people don't realize. So whenever you think of, like, when people say dress up like they're ancient Greek, you know, like the toga parties and stuff like that, or you want to emulate that look, a lot of times you'll wear a laurel crown. And the laurel crown is something that's connected to Apollo specifically. Yes, the other gods had their own, like, crowns. Like, you might see, like, grapevines or, like, different types of, like, plants, but the laurel one that everybody uses and that's in, like, when you go to the costume store is directly connected to him and his myth with Daphne.
Mm. I was gonna say how interesting it is that these energies allegedly don't exist, but we still use their imagery, their names and likeness in a lot of facets of our society and have for thousands upon thousands of years.
Yeah, and it's like cross pantheon.
Because why, too. Like, obviously, if this individual is not real, quote unquote, then why are we continuing to utilize the name and so on and so forth?
They, like, haunt us. They stay with us. Their stories and that type of thing. Before we get into it, do you want to tell them where they can find us at?
So you can follow us over on X at edpro_pgh. We still do tweet a lot. You can follow us on Instagram, Tumblr, pretty much everywhere at Etta Arlene. We are mostly active on X and Instagram. So if you want to keep up to date with everything that we do and, like, the upcoming workshops and new things that we do, new books coming out, oracle cards, follow us on Instagram at Etta Arlene. You can follow us on YouTube as well, where we post Reiki infused videos multiple times a week. Go like and subscribe. And you can go to our website, ettaarlene.com/Reiki, and sign up for our email list to receive a free Reiki session on the first of every month at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You have to sign up, though, to get put on that list.
Yes.
And we want to say thank you to our patrons and everybody who has donated. Thank you for your help. It's awesome. Makes us feel loved, valued, appreciated. And if you have a moment and you would like this podcast, please consider leaving a review on whatever listening platform you're on. And don't forget to like and subscribe on there as well. You can go to our website, etaarlene.com/shop, and check out our books, oracle cards, and the other things that we create. And you can book a Reiki session with us and a tarot reading with Etta. Yeah. Go to our website, That also helps us greatly. If you want to support us and support this podcast and everything that we do, please consider purchasing something that we created.
Yeah. And then at the end of the episode, we do have Reiki. Since this is about Apollo and he does healing, I'll probably ask him to be with us for that Reiki.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like there was something. Oh, should I talk about the workshops really quick? Yeah,
we're going to talk about the upcoming workshops and then we'll get back to the episode.
Yeah. So March 30th. We're going to be, these are all at ceremonial. March 30th is for Lessons of the Love Goddess. So that's going to be around, Aphrodite. And, I'm going to also discuss other love goddesses, but it's going to be, in regards to like self-love and embracing this like feminine softness within all of us. It's for men and women, and how that is, there's power in that. And, yeah, moving through that energy, we'll probably connect to her and the other love goddesses. Then the next workshop is another rune one. That's going to be April 6th. And I'm teaching Intro to Rune Magic. So in this workshop, we'll discuss the different types of Norse magical systems and how rune magic is different compared to them. We'll probably discuss the differences between all of them, but this will be focused on doing magic with the runes. So we will touch on divination. It is going to be magic centered. We'll talk about history and stuff like we always do with all of the workshops, but it's magic focused, and in particular runic formulas and bind runes, but mostly formulas. Mm-hmm. Because I like the formulas a lot.
Yeah.
But we will touch on bind runes. And, you know, at, like we do at all the workshops, we'll connect with the spirits that are appropriate for the workshop. Obviously, this one will be the Norse spirits again. You don't have to be a rune person. You don't have to already be acquainted with the runes to come to this workshop, because it's an introduction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for all levels. And then the next one after that is May 5th, I believe. It might be the 4th. Or the 5th. We're still trying to seal the date, but right now it's looking like it'll be that Sunday in May, and that one is going to be all about sun magic. And I think it's really fun because we're talking about Apollo in this episode, and I'm going to be teaching a workshop on solar energy and sun magic. So I believe he'll be very excited to yeah. be there. But he won't be the only, we'll connect with like sun energy, and there's lots of different beings across pantheons that are associated with the sun, but we're going to be focused on connecting in that sun energy in particular. So you may come and you might have an experience with some sort of solar entity, which is fine, or just the sun in general. We'll go through how to use it, and we'll probably do our own little like sun spell. Hopefully it's like blazing outside, but if it's a rainy day, we'll still make it work.
And thank you to everybody who has come to the workshops.
Everybody's been really awesome. We've met a lot of really cool people. The last workshop was a lot of fun with the runes, and you know, that one was so fun. I can't wait to do the next one on rune magic specifically. So I think that's it right now. I am not reading in person anywhere yet. I haven't like decided, but you can get a reading from me virtually right now.
Yeah.
And that's whenever you just...
And thank you to everybody who's booked those too.
Yeah. Thank you for everyone I've been able to connect with. Those have been fun. I get really excited about tarot, so sometimes I can go like really long. Mm-hmm. The last session I did, we got kicked off because we have like a timer to like kick you off, and then we had to like restart it, which I thought was like hilarious. But I warned her going in. I was like, I try to keep it at 30 minutes, so you tell me if we're going over or, you know, keep it going. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I'm trying to get better at staying in my window.
Yeah.
Like, really a lot. All right, I'm ready to talk about Apollo if you are.
Okay, so in the last episode, we talked about how if you feel like a deity or energy is reaching out to you, like, so I want to touch on that. Like, how did Apollo introduce himself to you and like tell us the story of whatever you want to talk about
about Apollo, so
like your journey with Apollo, because you've been with Apollo for many years now, and everybody who knows you or seen you or met you knows that you're Apollo, you know. Yeah. Apollo's your man.
Yeah.
He's one of the dudes.
Yeah, it looks like I might be invoking him for
another spring ritual, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited, and it looks like it's in May, and, like, I've always do, like, I feel like a lot of our friends like to do, like, the underworld stuff, and I feel like I'm always, like, engaging in it, and now this is, like, my time to shine. Like, but, you know, you have to have balance, so right now I'm a little
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. I'll probably bring, I have like a big bust of him, so if we do that, I'm probably just gonna bring that big boy with me.
I feel like Dionysus is gonna be like, I need a nice representation as well, please. Yeah. Do not put a tiny little statue next to this massive bust of Apollo, please.
Yeah. Yeah, please don't do that.
But life's interesting. This is like, go with the flow, have fun. Like, mm-hmm. We're having fun.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. Like, this is stuff that, like, when we were little, we would have dreamed of having an opportunity to do, and now we're just casually getting invited to do this stuff, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, I like it. And I did a Apollo ritual with our guest, Tatiana.
Yeah.
She's a few episodes back from last, I think it was last year, or last season, she hosted a ceremony for him, and it was for, like, artists and creatives. And I did that, I think, 2 weeks ago. And that was a really interesting experience. I thought it was kind of funny. When I went in, I was, like, really happy, and she was like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm here for the Apollo ceremony. And she's like, oh, I got chills when you said his name. And I was like, oh, yay. And she said every time I said his name, she got chills. But, you know, that made me feel nice, obviously. But Apollo is significant for me because he's the first deity that I actively engaged with.
Yeah, like, we were working with angels and stuff before, yeah. But this is the first
non-angelic energy that I was consciously engaging with, and he kind of introduced me and showed me how to engage with other beings from other just other beings in general. Like, mm-hmm. You know, we're dealing with all these different realms besides the angelic realms. And I would say the second, and I talk about Loki a lot. He would be the second one that showed me how to work with different energies as well. And so some people might be like, well, they're from two different pantheons. And I always tell people it's because I do Oracle with both of those pantheons. So I do runes with the Norse gods, and then I do the Greek oracle with the Greek gods.
But it's very common for the pantheons crossing.
Yeah, so that's something that you can do. So some people, it depends on your personal philosophy, and everybody's spiritual journey is different. I don't believe in telling people what they should do on their path, and it's quite common to engage with spirits from multiple pantheons, and I definitely do, 1,000%.
I'll say, no one can tell you truth.
No one can tell you your truth. That is important. And if you know, if you have, it's, and sometimes you'll have, like, you might be working with, like, a being. There's this person I know who was working with Hecate, and then she introduced her to a different spirit with a different pantheon and put her on this different trajectory. And you can talk to your team and your spirit guides and stuff like that and ask them, like, why is this spirit coming around? So, like, whenever I got introduced to the Norse stuff, I did ask, like, Apollo, like, what's going on? Like, why are they here? And he's like, you know, gave me instructions, whatever. So it all ended up being awesome. And when it comes, like we said in our last episode, when it comes to these divine beings, it's not uncommon for them to come around and leave depending on what they're helping you work with. So that's a thing. But you have some that are more consistent and will, like, stay with you. Doesn't mean they don't step back, but you kind of always go back to them. Yeah. And that's kind of how Apollo is, where he is around and then he steps back for whatever I'm doing, and then he comes back again. He likes to do check-ins. He also likes to check on everybody around me, so it's not uncommon for people to, like, start hanging out, and then all of a sudden they're, like, getting blasted by, like, Apollo
stuff. As the sun's hitting me in February.
Yeah. And it's something I feel like slowly developed throughout the years, where now it's, like, I'm very open about my connection with him, where before I was a lot more private. And we do have this platform, and we've also been meeting people who've been
in alignment.
Yeah, and have made it more comfortable to speak about the beings that we engage with. And so whenever I met Apollo, It was a very long time ago, and if you know me, you know this story, so you're welcome to skip, because this is like the story I tell people, but I had a dream about a shiny man, is the best way I can describe it, and he is like talking to me like he knows me, and I was like confused, and then I go to bed, and then the next night, same thing, I have a dream of the same, like, being, and he's like glowing, and he's like, yeah, I know you, I want to help you out. And then I'm still like, what's going on? And I'm saying these dreams were happening back to back. Next night, same guy, same there. And then I'm like, well, why do you want to help me out? And then he's like, yeah, I'm like a patron for you. And so in regards to when he says that, he's talking about like how he patronizes the things that I do, like the arts, like healing, like all of that, literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going through everything. Like, you do Oracle, you do this, you do that. He's like, that's what I do. And he's like, I can help you with that. And kind of insinuating he's been around for a while. And then I'm like, in denial. And then I start bickering with him.
This is where the spirit vetting comes in.
Yeah, yes, yes. So I did that. I do that with all my spirit. So then I start essentially bickering with him. And I'm like, going down the list, like, in my dream state. And he's, like, being very patient. He's kind of, like, thinks it's funny. And then he ends it with talking about, like, when I was born. So it's not uncommon for you to have, like, I always tell people, if you look at your, like, astrology, your birth chart, your name, certain things in your life, you can see the weird synchronicities and, like, oh, this divine being has been around. And in some philosophy, there's this idea that we are all in a current with these divinities. Like, there's currents of energy that have beings within it, and then you are fall into that somehow, like, and that depends on your own personal view of how that energy works. So, like, I have a lot of solar energies that I actively engage with. Mm-hmm. Hence I'm teaching a class on sun magic.
Yeah.
But I started noticing that I had this like current of like fire and sun, like, always. And so I find out later though in life. But anyways, he's like, you know, you were born on Sunday in the morning. You know, it's my sacred day. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's crazy. But then it, like, goes down the list where there's all of these things. Like, our father is a musician. I'm a daughter of a musician. And then my birthday is a part where he's mentioned as King Abaddon and if you're into Abrahamic stuff. Whenever our father died, I got a dolphin necklace. And
yeah, our dad always wore a gold dolphin necklace.
Yeah, yes. Our dad always did. And our dad was a musician. And Apollo's kind of insinuated he had a fondness for our father, so I believe that he was looking out for, I think there's like a connection within that because of the creativity in our line, but that's another story. But anyways, I'm going down the line, I'm seeing all these weird things, like my middle school was the dolphins, our high school, Spartans, like all this stuff that's like sacred to Apollo.
Yeah, these indicators.
Mm-hmm. And that's just like down the list. Stuff you reflect on later in life. My life path numbers, he oversees. One of the funnier things, I went to get a tattoo. This is around the time I'm like getting introduced to him. And I had two different tattoos I wanted. I had a sun, and I don't know how to describe it. It's like rays coming out. It's not really a sun. It's like rays.
The sunburst.
Yeah, it's like a burst. And then I had like a botanical, and the tattoo artist swore up and down he never received the botanical one. And I know we sent it.
Yeah.
And so then I always joke that was like Apollo. But anyways, that first introduction, I didn't know who he was specifically. And then he said who he was, but I wasn't a Greek person. I didn't like I'm not Greek.
You're not absorbed in that.
I was not in that world. I wasn't interested in working with deities. I'm probably on the first start of my journey, I had only intended on engaging with the angels because that's what I knew. And I had developed relationships with these archangels and like spirit guides and stuff like that. And so I did not seek him out. I didn't know really who he was. And then he So I do the spirit vetting, and I'm like, okay, well, now this is Greek god. What is this? You know, I talk to you about it. And then we start seeing his stuff everywhere. Like, you're seeing his name everywhere. You're, like, the sun. Like, I can't even describe it. It's like, you're just, like, inundated with his stuff.
Yeah, because when you were experiencing this initially, like, you kept it to yourself because you didn't want to be judged or, like, mm-hmm. you know, perceived in a negative light. And when you started telling me about it, some of the days that you were telling me were some of, like, the outrageous, like, not, yeah, I guess astrological moments. Yeah. And it was one of the brightest days, like, in 100-something years or some crazy stuff. So I'm getting blinded by the sun, as I am right now.
Where we're sitting.
While you were telling me, and then when we were driving, we saw like all these symbols. It was like really magical.
Yeah, I can't. It was like
we're not doing it justice.
It's like undeniable. And now everybody's experiences with divine beings are going to be different, and I think that they cater it to how you are and what you're receptive to. So some people will not get approached because they might not be receptive to that type of thing. And these divine beings know it. So they might do a more subtle approach where you start getting your interest piqued by them, and then you go off on your journey and you find them. Where other people need to have the affirmations. And it also depends on, like I didn't know who he was. So it was like he had to like make it very blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that there was undeniable. To the point where, like, people around me were like, what is going on? Like, why? Like, why is this happening? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't invoke him. I didn't do anything. He just showed up, and he's like...
And people started gifting you...
Yes.
...that things that were associated with him.
Yeah.
Without even knowing the situation.
Yeah.
So there was, like, these strange alignments.
I started having, like you said, like, people were giving me things that were Apollo, like, connected. And now, like, people do know me, but it's, like, weird. People now will still give me stuff that's, like, connected to him because they feel like he's telling them to do it at this point. But back then, it was, like, weird. We were, like, what in the world is, like, going on? Like, because I wasn't talking about people. I thought it was, I didn't want people to, like, judge me
mm-hmm.
and think it was weird. And it's hard for people to wrap their heads around the idea of a...
people still can't handle manifesting.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, we're manifesting our realities constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they going to wrap their heads around the idea that a mythological being that mm-hmm. we were told and taught was all fiction...
Yeah.
...that we're having these irrefutable evidence in your current reality? Like, how do you explain that? So,
like, synchronicity.
It's like normal to not want to share this kind of stuff, which is why it's taken us so long to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, now it's, like, it doesn't matter anymore. Especially now, like, with teaching and stuff like that. And, like,
You're literally a spiritual teacher, so.
Yeah. I've just been, like, open about it and just saying, like, yeah, these are the spirits that I engage with. And I also, like, to say, too, that. What I learned for myself is some people aren't going to have these experiences. And so who are they to judge if they've never had a life-altering experience? And when they do, or if they ever do, they'll sing a different tune. Because that's always how it is. People will have their opinions. And then as soon as they have that happen to them, magically they need help with it. Magically they are like looking for guidance. But you can't take that from me. It's like you know, people say you can't take intelligence, you can't take, like, there's certain things, that traits that we carry as people that no one can take from us. Like, you can't take my creativity or things like that.
You can try, but you can't replicate someone's authentic being.
So that's my, I'm saying, like you can't take my experience.
No, you can't.
And it's your just, experiences yeah. and people we know, like, I can't look at somebody who had something very profound happen to them and tell them that it didn't happen. Because it didn't happen to me.
It didn't happen. No. Mm-hmm. It's not real. Just because you did not experience that. But until that day comes.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who have these things happen and they just don't say anything about it because they don't want to be perceived in a negative light.
Yeah.
And I know with me, I have this issue where I don't like when people doubt my intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've coped with for a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I'm a woman or soft-spoken or whatever it is, but I felt like some of the more esoteric things that were happening would make people not take me seriously. And that's something that you have to, like, cope with and deal with too, mm-hmm. I think. But I also think that it's important to find your tribe and find people who do understand you. And I think that's why it's easier to talk about this stuff, because we're aligning with people who get it.
Yeah. We've created this safe space that we're able to speak about this freely, and it's a beautiful thing. So that's why you have to be your authentic self and then you will align with the right people. Mm-hmm. But if you're constantly living in the shadow, yeah, no one's ever gonna see you in the light.
So. Yeah, yeah, like no one, and like a lot of times, like whenever you have unique things happen to you, you're paving. I always tell people this. I did told this one person in a reading, same thing. Like we're paving a road that instead of following one. So people who aren't able to pave that road or can't see what you're creating or what's happening will think you're wrong until they can see what you've done. And so it's really hard for people who are in that alternative side of things because there's not an established thing for others to look at and be like, oh, this is the right direction. And, you know, if you don't pave that on your own, you're going to be following somebody else's story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something to also, like, consolidate. But yeah, I mean, Paula definitely opened that world up of working with other divine beings.
And for vetting him, so you said earlier that you, like, questioned everything and questioned it all. Like, what did it take for you to accept it? And accept the connection and to want to start developing a connection.
Everything that he told me was true. It could be verified through his myths. That was the big thing. And that's also very creepy. Like whenever you ask them questions and then there's verifiable things. Him saying who he was and then how he presented himself and answering the questions and having that align with the nature of how he's described. And I didn't go on the internet initially for him. I didn't do like social media looking him up. I like was reading about like various myths and stuff like that because I was still trying to like wrap my head around the whole thing. So sometimes people will jump to social media, but in his case, I didn't. I was looking at stories and stuff like that. And then eventually I started like seeing how other people interacted with him. But there's also the feeling that you get from them. So I wasn't afraid. And I was everything was like nice. Like everything was very pleasant and happy and like loving. So there wasn't any like dis-ease in my interactions with him. And then he was very persistent and consistent. So it wasn't like I had one dream or I had this happen. It was like every night for probably like a week, I was having this dream, these dreams of him explaining who he was and then having the physical stuff happening, then having the verifiable like evidence via like archaeology and, you know, writings and stuff like that. And then reading about other people engaging with it, like having everything line up in match and be very consistent with no discrepancies. And then to have him be very pleasant too, like that also contributes to it. Like him not being like, he wasn't scary. He wasn't angry. It was very like loving and patient and like, yeah, here, this is, and then you can see how they like guide you onto stuff. And, he was more interested in kind of like connecting with him and learning how to connect with divine beings. And being like, look, this is what we are. This is who we are. This is how we can help you. How I can help you, and going from there. So a feeling is very important too. Like if you feel really scared, there's a difference between nervousness with certain beings or intimidation or reverence as opposed to like pure terror and dis-ease. Like you should feel comfortable in their presence. And you shouldn't be afraid to, like, talk to them. Like, I wasn't afraid to be like, hold on a minute. And him, and, like, kind of, like I said, essentially, like, bicker with him because I didn't know who he was. And then when I finally did realize who he was and what was going on and how he was claiming he had been helping and stuff like that, I remember the last thing I did after I accepted, like, all of it is I was like, well, where have you been? And, like, then I, like, flipped to me being like, well, I needed you.
For Apollo, you mentioned, like, obviously the arts. People know him to be associated with the arts. But what you said earlier, but can you refresh again?
Yeah.
Like, what is he associated with and how can he help people?
So Apollo is, we'll do, like, a little quick, like, rundown. He is the son of Zeus and Leto. He's a twin. Artemis is his sister. They're very similar in certain regards. They both are, like, known to be far shooters. They get along very well. if you work with one of them, usually the other one will come in and check in. Mm-hmm. That's just like a given. But that's how siblings are, you know, especially if you're close. He is a healing. He does healing. He's a god of young men, where Artemis is a patroness or a matron of young women. But the sexual identity of a person doesn't really matter when engaging with these gods. We're talking about, like, energy, but that's just something that he'll help with, like, you know, young men. And that's why he's depicted the way he is, with the long hair, because that was youthfulness. Oftentimes you'll see it, like, up in, like, a bow. So in that, the time period when those, like, statues and stuff were being made, men would, with long hair, would pull it up around, and they would do, like, a kind of like a bun, like a man bun type thing that looked similar to a bow. So that's basically like a man bun that's up there. But a lot of times people just think it's a bow, but it's his hair. So he can take it down. It's supposed to be super long. He is known to be a god of poetry, of, like I said, archery. He's associated with like fitness and stuff, because it's just like kind of like a side thing to him. Like he's has that youthful vigor and whatnot. Music, hence the lyre that he is oftentimes depicted carrying. The arts, that's why he's connected with the muses. He loves all of them. He can't decide which one to marry. That's one of the, like, myths. So he has, like, a son with one of the muses. He might have more. You know, he has a lot of lovers. So his myths are... I love love stories, and he has, like, a ton of... men and women. So sometimes people think he's exclusively man, like he's just gay, but he's not. He actually has love beautiful love stories with men and women. Hyacinth is probably one of the more well-known ones, and it's beautiful love tale. I had Hyacinth pop up in my front yard and I got all excited. But he has, like, you know, a ton of really pretty love stories. There's this one love story where it's him and this guy, and there's, like, an oracle site where they kiss. Then there's, like, Daphne and him. There's, like, him and Cyrene. There's so many, like, cool ones. And then they're always dramatic, and they have, like, crazy, like, endings and stuff. But that's because of the art. So you have... There's a lot of this, like, duality with, like, Greek myths, where, like, you'll have, like, a deity who oversees something, but then they don't have that. And, like... with him, he's, like, happy and, like, you know, the sun and all of that, but then he'll have, like, these myths that will have him heartbroken or him enraged, or, like, have him be the opposite. And so some people say it's because he's associated with the arts, so it's supposed to depict the range of emotions that can be expressed via art. He's a god of oracle. He has a lot of functions, like, a lot of divine functions. And he's also the god of, like, plagues. And some people say the abyss as well, depending on what you're reading. And that whole thought is that the light casts the darkest shadows. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of duels to Apollo that I really like. And he's known for a lot of the, like, the just the happier, like, aspects, which is cool. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, he's like a frat boy, you know? But there's these contradictories to him that are really, like, interesting when you get into it. So, like... like I said, you have the myths where he's supposed to be, like, happy, fun, but then has sorrow, anger, rage, where he's, like, in retribution, that type of thing. He's a god of healing, but also the god of plague. He's, you know, he's connected with, like, light, but then he's also connected with, like, the darkness and the shadows. When we talk about, like, gender and stuff like that, he's very masculine. He's the pinnacle of masculinity, but then... in the same breath, they're talking about how he does all these feminine things and how he has, like, a feminine features, you know, like this, like, saying how, like, pretty he is. And then you see that with his sister as well. You know, she's this huntress. She's, like, really intense, but she's also this divine feminine, like, you know, looks after women, and she's just strong, but then she's all these, like, masculine, like, dual. So it's, like, really interesting with both of them. But, like, you know, from Apollo, if we're looking at Apollo, he has all of these, like, contradictories that I think reflect, like, human nature as well, like, how we are both, like, we are good and bad, we are, you know, happy and sad, and that can be reflected in a lot of his myths and a lot of, like, how he is.
It's the duality of everything.
Yeah, and this, like I said, these, like, contradictions and stuff, and people will argue about it and debate about certain aspects of him, depending on who you're talking to. They do that with all the gods and mythology, I feel like. But I tend to like really like those things. I like those with a lot of different like spirits. I like to notice the both aspects, because that's what it's like being human. We have all these multiple layers, and you know, spirituality is a reflection of people who are practicing. So of course the divine beings are going to have multiple layers as well, and not just be one archetype. They're going to be reflective of multiple ones. And then whatever you work, you can work with certain aspects of these beings to help heal certain aspects of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some people who will only engage, who only are engaging with Apollo because they're medical students, mm-hmm. and they are dealing with him and his son Asclepius.
Yeah.
But then there's people who are involved in athletes or who are like, you know,
they like all that. Have different epithets.
Yeah, they all do. They all do. So you, that's another thing. You can choose to pick just those specific ones. And those are often connected, like, if we go historically to, like, different regions had perceived these divine beings as being a certain way. So, like, for some people, a god was this way in this specific area. And then they start to, like, merge them together. And then also, like, time periods also crafted those different epitaphs. There's lots of reasons why they have different functions. And then they might have layered over the years, so initially a god might have been of this, but then as like civilizations moved and changed and merged, they started taking on other
mm-hmm.
roles and attributes, which is like really cool. And Apollo is not any different from that. And yeah, he's supposed to be like regal. What he can help you with in general is helps you with confidence. He helps you be motivated. He'll help you, like, with those specific things that he oversees. So if you are engaged in any of the arts, some people will not include visual arts, but visual arts are included in it. Any of the arts he'll help you with, and he'll guide you to the right beings that can assist you with it. He'll oversee it. He just likes the arts. Like, at the art studio, I feel like he's always there. There's always somebody there that is linked to him somehow, or he's doing a painting of him. That's why you see him everywhere, because he's connected to the arts. And I think that he can help you with, like, let's say you're a mom and you have young children. Artemis and Apollo can help you with your children, because that's something that they oversee. So if you have like a little boy, he could look after your kid. That's something that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, Artemis, if you have a little girl, obviously musical instruments, practical things. He helps with like concepts of victory. So if you're doing like let's say you're making like a talisman, you could do one for luck, victory, I joke like winning, mm-hmm. that type of thing, because of that energy of confidence, energy that like I'm awesome. So he'll show you and help you be like, no, I am awesome, I can do like whatever I need to do. Like, and you'll have, if you do like work with him a lot, you'll feel that behind you. Like, you'll feel, I remember there was this one time I was like meditating and I was like doubting myself, and he like, it made me laugh. He was like, you know, you're like embarrassing me right now. Kind of like, I'm over here being your like main guy and you're going to act like this. Like, you know, like, kind of like, I showed you better,
mm-hmm.
you know, like he'll like, he said once, like, everybody's perfect because we're all like unique. We're all so like individually us. So we're all awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll remind you of that if you work with him. Like, he's going to be very emotional with, like, his people. So I guess, like, you know, you'll have this, like, sympathetic ear if you are sick.
Mm-hmm.
You can call on him to help you and at least be with you, and he'll do what he can.
So if a listener is interested in working with Apollo, what are the first steps they should take to...
Research.
Besides, research, number one. Okay, yeah. What's number two?
After research, I would connect with him, and you can light a candle for him, white, yellow, gold, anything that's like sun orange, anything in that arena. You don't have to get like a bunch of stuff. You don't have to, like, unless you want to. I mean, he loves like opulence. So if you like want to flatter him with like a bunch of awesome stuff, he wouldn't decline it. But to start off with, you can light a candle, and then you request him to be present, and then you just go into a space of stillness and see what happens, and be in a place of observation. He might not directly show up immediately to your perception, but he'll be there, he'll know, He's a god of oracle, so using tarot and stuff like that is fine to, like, connect with him. Any of the gods you can obviously do that with. But when we're talking about him particularly, you can connect with him when you're doing your art. You can, you could, like, do automatic writing if you write poetry, if you play music. Anything that's, like, what he does, you can connect with him through. You can light a candle, start painting, ask him to be with you, see what happens. You know, that type of thing. You don't necessarily have to fall into a state of, like, unconsciousness or meditation, because some people have a hard time starting off with that. But, like, yeah, first, obviously, research him, learn about his myths, learn about his associations, and then you ask him to step forward and light him a candle and sit in meditation and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then he'll guide that process if you let him.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get disheartened if, like, you do it and you don't feel like anything's happened initially. Maybe he's going to be more subtle. Oftentimes he's not. It just depends on the person.
Mm-hmm.
So, or you might do it, not feel anything, and then, like, an hour later, you're just inundated with Apollo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know. Like I said, you know. Like, there's no, it's, like, undeniable. Like, he'll let you know. He's around. Like, his candle flame is, like, going crazy right
now. Yeah, and the sun, like, it just keeps getting brighter. Where we're at, it is February, and then it's winter. It should not be like this. So, thanks, Apollo. Is there anything else you would like to talk about Apollo, or any messages that he'd like to share with the public?
I don't have anything else I want to talk about, because I feel like I could, like, talk about him forever. Like,
we covered a lot in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, all of the divine beings, you first go off on, like, this mythology thing where you learn about their myths, but then they each have their stories and they have their lessons.
And if you feel like there are multiple energies wanting to work with you, see what their functions are and see how that applies with what you're asking the universe for.
Yeah, that's always it too. And then you don't have, like, you can just pick one of them and focus on them and then have them guide you with working with the other ones. That's how I've been moving now. Now I've been working with a whole plethora of different ones that come in. Usually I'll talk to the one I'm working with and ask them why they're here, what do I need to do, what steps I need to take, that type of thing. With any relationship in general, you do not have to formulate a relationship with a being that is making their presence known to you. That's also a thing, but you would just respectfully and nicely decline their assistance. Don't be, like, mean. However, my personal motto is, like, every being that I've encountered has helped me dramatically and has stepped in for something really extreme. So I usually hear them out in a safe way, like I said, checking with my other beings and, you know, all that. But anyways, I think that Apollo is very happy that we're talking about him. I think that he's excited for anybody who wants to reach out to him and connect with him. I think that he feels that there's people listening who need his assistance, and he would like to be there to help out.
Answer the call.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you've been getting a lot of Apollo signs, I'm just going to say what I say all the time whenever he's coming in intensely for people, that this is your sign. So reach out to him and hear him out. But yeah, and we have Reiki at the end of this episode that I've asked Apollo to help with, so you'll be able to feel his energy right then.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Apollo.
Thank you.